to be done.
Howler agreed. I agreed with everybody. Taglian soldiers continued to reach the top of the wall. Most were surprised to have made it. Few had any definite objective once they reached the top. Again, I wondered if the old man knew what was going on. I started to drift away, thinking maybe it was time to see Croker. The Daughter of Night came to the top of the wall, galloped toward Howler and Sing as fast as her short legs would carry her. Fireballs scarred Overlook's wall. There appeared to be a purpose to the way they fell, but I couldn't discern it. More and more soldiers climbed the scaffolding. The child shrieked at Sing and Howler. Then Howler shrieked. The news was out. Chapter 45. I tumbled out of the wagon. After a couple of steps, I fell to my knees.
"Whoa there," One Eye said. "What's up?"
Spent too long out, maybe. Weak. Hungry and thirsty. I took water from him. It had been sweetened, but included nasty additives as well. He must be making something that would turn alcoholic. "Where's the old man?"
"I don't know. I see Ty Day, though."
By way of suggesting caution. I shifted languages. "Lady isn't playing with them over there. She had troops climb the scaffolding. They made it to the top. There's a mob of them inside. They've just found out on the inside. And some of the prince's men are in the ruins of Kialune. They were sneaking up to help Lady, but they got bogged down. There are actually people hiding out there now. Some of Mogaba's bunch. They're putting up a fight." I'd passed over the ruins coming back and had been surprised to see the fighting. The presence of fighters there needed examination. It hadn't been long since the ruins were occupied by only a handful of survivors incapable of helping Long Shadow with his construction project. Mogaba had to be sneaking men in a few at a time. "I think Croker went off with one of the patrols looking for Mogaba." "What do you need him for?" "I don't think he knows what's happening. I think Lady did this on her own." Which had been fine when she was in charge of the frontier, but not now, when she commanded only a quarter of the army. "I've no idea what his plans are, but I'll bet he don't want them taken away from him like this." One Eye grunted. He considered Ty Day and Mother Gota, who was a dozen yards farther away, closing in, bent under a huge load of firewood. Give her credit. She carried her share of the work. One Eye's own bodyguard, Jojo, was nowhere to be seen, which was the usual state of affairs. They were two of a kind. One Eye said,
"I'll jump in the wagon and find out. You get your strength back."
He went up with a frown, tossing one concerned glance back before he disappeared. I helped Mother Gota with the firewood. So did Ty Day. We got it sorted and broken and in out of the wet in minutes. Mother Gota actually thanked me for helping. She had moments when she could manage courtesy toward an outsider who hadn't been able to help his bad choice of parents. Those were rare. They seemed to come only when she was feeling particularly good. I remained courteous myself. In fact, now that I knew what they'd done to me in Sari, I found myself becoming more formal and courteous. I hoped my manners didn't make them suspicious. I smirked when I thought about Sleepy. Then I worried about the kid. I had no business burdening him with a personal mission.